Turn to Isaiah chapter 8. This will be our theme tonight, is prayer, or another word, waiting on God. How many of you do yoga exercises? Anybody? No? Okay, there's a couple. No? Okay. All right. Okay. Hot yoga? No, not that one. The other one. Okay. Isaiah 8, verse. Good to have Pastor Shabelli back. He's over here with Linda. We love you, Pastor. You're awesome. You are awesome. Isaiah 8, verse 17. And I will wait upon the Lord, and that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. So it looks like what the prophet is saying, that waiting on God, though he is hiding, I am waiting on God. Waiting on God, in the Hebrew we have this word, kava, means to wait actively with anticipation, hopefully watching for God to act. The most familiar passage in Scripture where we see this word is Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to encourage us tonight in a certain attitude that is not one of being driven or forcefully or feeling guilty, but instead one of quiet anticipation on God. So this verse 17 is suggesting this, and it's actually in a number of places in our Psalms. Psalm 25, Psalm 27, Psalm 62, Psalm 123. Also Proverbs 20, verse 22 is a great proverb on waiting on God, not looking for recompense or revenge in an unjust thing that happened to you, but instead waiting on God. What an amazing thought this is, to wait. Anticipation on and leaning on the nature and the character of God. I believe it goes this way, that if my understanding of the nature of God is very, I'm doing like this, like big, and my understanding of God moves my heart, then I'm ready to anticipate from God. I wait on him. I may not see the results right away, but I have this anticipation because I know who he is. That's at the key of our new life. Our new life has provided for us this spirit of knowing the nature of God. But look at the next verse here, chapter 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. And they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? So this is what happens. People can't. They have a very weak understanding of the nature of God. So they depart from him. And they go to wizards. They go to magic, or they go to some other thing. They're looking for results. I remember Abraham Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, in the White House would have seances because she wanted communication with her sons who had died. And she was eager, like very driven, very interested in communicating with the dead. Why? Because she couldn't wait on God. Why not? Because the concept of God, I don't really know, actually. I'm talking about her like I know, but I don't actually know the whole story. But it disturbed Abraham Lincoln that that would be happening in the White House, and also trying to find rest for his wife, who did become mentally sick, and very troubled in life, very depressed and very dark. So there are people that turn away from the living God. And God is saying to the Jews, you should be waiting on me, even though I have turned away from you. Isn't it verse 17? He hides his face from the house of Jacob. Even though God hides his face, I will wait on him. There it is. I have the understanding that God is not a God far off, that he is a God that satisfies. He is the one that I need. He is the one that speaks to my heart. He is the one that ministers to me, and he is the ultimate answer for my life. So this is at the very heart of our lives. Turn with me to Psalm 27. Go to Proverbs 20, 22 on the way to Psalm 27. Proverbs 20, 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. That means, don't say, I'm going to seek for revenge. You know, I rented out a house. They never paid the rent. I'm stuck with the mortgage payment. I've been ripped off. I want a solution. Fine. I understand. We all are with you on that. However, there's a key, verse 22. I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord. But wait on the Lord. I believe this is a problem for many of us, that we haven't learned what that means, to wait, to rely. But it's not a dead passive, like dull, dud type relationship. No, it's a active, interactive relationship as we are anticipating God in life. Now go to Psalm 27, please. We could go to the whole psalm is just amazing, verses 13 and 14. I had fainted. It's an italics. I don't know what it is in the Hebrew. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I think I'll just do the message. Turn with me now to Mark 7. That was to be an introduction, but I think I'll just do this, and because of the context, and then we'll do the offering, and I asked Pastor Matt Garrett to share. He has a word on prayer. So turn to Mark 7 and verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. So the Jews did call Gentiles dogs. Maybe they still do, I don't know. But Jesus didn't go to the Greek or the Syrophoenician up there, the Lebanon territory in the northern part of Israel. He didn't go to minister to them. So in a sense, he is very discouraging to this woman. Have you ever felt discouragement? Maybe he's not for you. Have you ever felt that you've done something wrong, that maybe you're paying for it? Have you ever felt how much you have kind of failed in living the spiritual life, or somehow you haven't been what you should be? When somebody mentions prayer, you kind of roll over and groan because you feel it's something you don't do, or you can't do, or you haven't done, or something like this. In a way, we are all dogs. In a way, all of us could be beat up by ourselves and by Jesus. And Jesus could say something to you and I, and we would just shrivel up and be very little. So this is the idea of the story, how I want you to read it with me, that this happens to us as Christians. You hear a man of God, or you hear the story of a woman of God, and they've done such great things, and you feel like, I don't know. I could hear Jesus calling me a dog. But here's the key to the woman. She can take it. I am a dog, but I know your character. I know who you are. I'm fine. Call me anything. I will not argue with you. But I know who you are. That's the key on waiting on God. It's not about us. We are dogs. It's about him. It goes the other way, often, naturally speaking. We are dogs. We kind of go off with our tail between our legs, off into the woods to disappear and seek for wizards or something else to entertain us or something to alleviate the pain or the guilt. Right, we go off on our way, and Jesus is looking for, because he's a minister, and he is saying, do you know me? If you know me, you will not go away from me. If you know me, you will seek me. If you know me, you will wait on me. You will quiet yourself and wait upon me and trust me and believe me. So go to the next verse, please. It says, Jesus had said in verse 27, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said, Yea, Lord. And my words, fine. That's okay. I'm a Greek. I'm not a Jew. But I know you. I believe you. I know you. Please, this is it. This is the blessing of our spiritual life. It's a flexible, a God that is not in a crusty little box that says, you're a dog, get out of my face. But it's more like this. You're a dog, but I know what you know about me. I know you can take it. I know that you have strength in your heart. I know that you are seeking me, and you will find me. You will find me. I will answer you. I will bless you. So that's it. Go to the next verse, please. It says, Yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. It's meaning, I'm not arguing with you, but I know you got something from me, for me. I'll take a crumb from the Jews' table. You're spreading out a big table for the Jews. I'll take a crumb. I'm not leaving. I'm believing. I'm waiting on you. And if you didn't do it today, I'm going to believe you for tomorrow. I'm quietly waiting on you, and I am enjoying you. I am anticipating you. I am believing in you. I am trusting in you. You see, I want you to get another concept of prayer. Prayer is not a tough thing. Prayer is simply putting your heart and your mind on the nature of God and enjoying Him. It says in Isaiah, my house will be a house of joy and prayer for all nations. It says joy there. My house will be a house of joy with prayer. Beautiful. Okay, go to verse 29. And he said, for this saying, go your way. The devil has gone out of your daughter. And I would say, Lord, I knew you would do it. I know who you are. You are not a God of far off. Jeremiah 23:23. I am a God at hand and not a God of far off. I know who you are. I am believing you for that. I might not see it right now, but I am waiting on you. I had fainted unless I had waited upon you and believed you. And then you ministered to me. You sent a little child to minister to me. You put me in a church where I could get ministered to. I had a friend who kind of ministered to me and prayed for me. I got a sunshine in the morning, a spiritual sunshine that came into my heart. On a dark day, God showed up for me. I'm waiting on Him. He's renewing my strength. We are running and not getting weary, walking and not fainting. We're able to do this that is set before us because we have learned to wait upon God. Now, here's what happens to us. We're such hurry American people. We're in such a hurry. We want the results now. If it doesn't show up, I got to get it on my own. I got to take it in my own hands. I got to do this thing on my own. I got to find a solution. I got to go do it. I love our ambition. I love our motivation in many ways. I love how we can be very focused as people. At the same time, don't miss out on this message. Because they that wait upon God is different from taking it in my own hands. Hezekiah waited on God, and God dealt with the Assyrians. Jesus taught us to abide in the vine. We will bear fruit. Jesus told us, don't fear. He told us to be anxious for nothing. He told us to be patient. He told us to walk by faith, not by sight. He told us to look at the things that are invisible and not the things visible. He told us to set the Lord before our face, for He is at our right hand in Psalm 16 and verse 8. And that through Him we can do a lot. And it comes this way. All right, so when she came to her house, she found the devil had gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Well, that's it for that message. It's a beautiful one. There's some other verses I think we could use, too. Psalm 73 is one. Hosea 12, verse 6. And thank God for that. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are prone to wander when we can't see you. We're prone to the wizards and those that peep and mutter and the things of the earth. We go wayward because we are somehow maybe bored with ourselves and maybe unfortunately with you. But we admit it And we want to be built up in our faith and be drawn to you and say, oh, no, no, I believe God is enough for me in my life. Oh, no, no, I believe God will keep me. My foot almost slipped. Then I went into the tabernacle of God and I understood their end. And none do I desire on the earth but you only, and none in heaven but only you. Jesus. Jesus, a new kind of prayer, one of waiting with anticipation on you. Teach us to wait upon you, God, and not take it in our own hands, but be people of prayer and waiting on you. We want more. We want more, and give it to us. Because you are a good God, a great God, a living God that brought us out of Egypt. You're the God that feeds us in the wilderness, that speaks to us in the prison cell, that anoints our feet, anoints our head with oil, and that washes our footsteps with butter. You are the living God that cares for us when we lie down to sleep, and you keep us through the night and have us wake in the morning. Oh God, there is no good thing you will withhold from him that walks uprightly. We wait upon you, God, with anticipation for your goodness to fall upon us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. Sorry. Wasn't that a phenomenal message? How many of us needed to hear that tonight? The song service, the message, the offering song, all of it. I'm going to try not to screw any of that up right now as we wrap this up. Maybe a quick announcement. As the Bible College director, it would be important for me to say the semester starts in 2.5 weeks. If you are interested in signing up, registration has been open. It is open. If you have questions about it at all, feel free to stop by our office. Come see me. Call our office, and we'll get you set up, okay? So keep that in mind. How awesome would it be to come to Bible College and learn to wait on God? I don't care if you get an A or an F in any of the classes. I do, but in light of what we're hearing tonight, I care that you learn to wait on God, that you learn what prayer really is, and what I want to say to you is how to do that in the Spirit. So let's read Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, and then we'll pray. Romans 8:26. I'm reading from the King James. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts," in verse 27, "knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So Jesus, we just ask you to help us to remain sensitive to your Spirit, to really just receive the ability to wait on you tonight, to hear from you, to trust in you, to rely on you for our prayer life and for the crazy different circumstances of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is visited by God in a dream. And God comes to him and asks him, you know, "Solomon, what do you want?" And Solomon thinks about it for a second, and he answers him in verse 7, 1 Kings 3 and verse 7. And he says, "And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or to come in. And I think, as Pastor Schaller has already said, and I hope this is just going to add to that, I think we all feel that way in different regards, different aspects of our life. I do not know what I'm doing. I do not know how to go out or how to come in. But then he changes what he says, and he addresses God directly, and he does know who God is. And this is what he says to him. In verse 8, "And your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this? You're so great a people." He knows who God is. He had the example of David, his father, before him. You can argue all day about David's character, but God gets the final word on David in Acts 13:22, and he says he is a man after God's own heart. And that's how we know and understand David, a man after God's own heart. Solomon has that example before him, and he gets to learn about who God is through his father, David, and he knows he can go to God and he can ask him, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know what you're doing. Give me the wisdom and understanding to be able to discern, to be able to lead, to be able to encourage, to be able to decide, to be able to get from this side to that, this side of the Red Sea for the Israelites to the other side," right? What circumstances in your life don't make sense right now that you have no idea what to do? Do you know God? Do you know that prayer is not some formula? Do you know that prayer is not some method, some incantation, some sort of something that you write down and repeat over and over again? Matthew 6, it says, avoid vain repetitions. Avoid it. Don't go near. Don't even think about it. That's not what prayer is. Your Father in heaven knows what your needs are before you ever even bring them to him. Do you know what prayer is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26? Oh, I'm not there. Hold on. I got to get back there. Romans 8:26. The Spirit, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Maybe prayer is actually one of the infirmities in our life. Maybe we're weak in it. Maybe we don't know how to do it. Maybe we don't understand what to pray for, how to do it, if there's like some specific thing we should say or how it should go. But what we do know is who God is and his character and what he says to us. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, it says, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. He is able to save us to the uttermost. Okay? And then in John 14, Jesus says, I'm going to send another person after me. It's the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort you. In verse 26, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to teach you. In 1 John 2:20, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to anoint you. And also, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that it would make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. And you know, when you just like step back and let go and you let God in and you put your faith in him and you stop trying to like make your method work and you stop trying to put your formulas together and get the right concoction of intercession and adoration and confession and all these supplication, all these other things that you could try to say, hey, this is prayer, God. This is what I'm bringing to you. When you step back and you just say, God, I do not know what I should pray for, then I guarantee you, don't trust me, trust the word of God. I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit at that moment is making intercession for you in a way that cannot be understood except for, in verse 27, by God. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, that the servant of the Lord must not strive, right? Have you ever thought about that? The servant of the Lord must not strive. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it also says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to them who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you walk after the Spirit? You get out of the way and you let the Spirit make intercession for you. You let the Spirit pray for you. You let the Spirit bring the need to God, to the throne of him on your behalf, because Christ is listening to it, Christ is interpreting it for you, and Christ is taking action on your life through the Holy Spirit for whatever your need may be. for whatever circumstances you are facing. You have, take the Syrophoenician woman. You have a daughter who's possessed of a spirit. You have a son who's in the hospital. You have a family member who's sick and it doesn't look good. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to pray. You don't know if there's the right thing to say or the wrong thing to say, but you know God. You know his character, and you know he has given you the most powerful tool you can ever wield that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with him, and it's his Holy Spirit. It's his presence inside of you. So let's pray with that in mind as we wrap things up. Jesus, we just ask you, Lord, please, to teach us this in a way that we can sit here and lean back into you and understand what prayer is, what waiting on you is, that we wouldn't have to take steps that we're uncertain of, that we could just hear the voice behind us speaking to us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and then we take a sure step in faith by your word, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you do not know what this Holy Spirit is, what we're talking about. Maybe you're here tonight and you do not have this sort of relationship with God right now in your life. And I got the most simple message I could ever give you is that God loves you so much that he desires to be with you, and he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you if you accept Christ into your life. All you have to do is believe in him. All you have to do, you don't have to know how to get through life. You don't have to know what your next step is or how to get past the circumstance. All you have to know is that Jesus Christ was sent to die for you, for your sins on the cross, so that you could accept him, receive his salvation, and walk in newness of life. So we want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you've never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is literally filling this room because of the amount of believers here right now, then just simply pray this prayer. Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to learn how to go out and to come in. Learn how to discern between good and evil, and bless me with your presence, Lord. And if you're praying that prayer for the first time, could you just quickly raise your hand and put it back down just so that we can be praying for you? If you're praying that for the first time, just lift your hand up and put it back down. Thank you, Jesus, for this night. Thank you for these messages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.